bowl game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
A win is a win. I'm doing all right. Midweek, bad weather. I don't think you can complain about how you get them. It wasn't pretty, but Jack State moves to 5-3 after a 24-21 win over Middle Tennessee. They're 4-0 in conference, as you all know, and they are in the driver's seat with Kennesaw to repeat. So I'm doing great. It was, again, these heart palpitation games I wish would be a little different, but this is the world we live in. At least it was fun. So never boring football. Brooks, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. These road games, these are anybody out there with blood pressure problems, I know, God bless you, because I know it's affected mine. Certainly, you know, like you said, Drew, a win's a win. Take them how you can get them. I'll say that it was a tale of two halves. I'll start off with that. First half, God Almighty, that was something. Everything from officiating calls to bad play multiple times, trick plays, and just absolutely insane very last play that ultimately resulted in stepping out of bounds. But then the just crazy first half. But then the second half, everything kind of both teams kind of settled in, really started moving the ball on offense. Got some good stops on defense when they needed them, and ultimately it just came down to one. I think we were just the better team, both from a tactical standpoint and from a disciplinary standpoint. That to me, that was the difference in the game. I thought we played pretty clean. I can't remember the total number of penalties, but it wasn't near what Middle had. Just doing all sorts of stuff to shoot themselves in the foot. And that's what, you know, we talked about all during our preview episode, which is, you know, Middle's problems and their losses this year have come from their own mistakes. And that was certainly the case last night. The last third down play. Yeah, that was absolutely pass interference. We absolutely got away with one. Tyron Taylor was pulling on the receiver's jersey, and it just got missed. And you know, that's twice now we've gotten saved by a ref. But you know, it happens, especially you know these weekday conference games. But beyond that, like I said, Middle just did everything that they could to shoot themselves in the foot, get a good drive going, and then you know take a sack. Penalties, just bad coaching decisions, some very surprising stuff from Derek Mason. We didn't play great by any means, but I think overall we just did things a little bit better, you know, enough to win the game. And that was the other point that we made going into this game was that you know, good teams find a way to win. Bad teams find a way to lose, and that was the case last night. We found a way to win, and Middle just found a way to lose. Rinse and repeat of what they've done all season. But again, hard to complain about a conference win, especially a road conference win, the way the season's been going.
Yeah, no complaints on my side either. We'll kind of look at the numbers here and kind of break it down, but. You know, the game felt very even. The numbers appear that way as well. I mean, Jack State outgained Middle 358-319. Middle had the one turnover, which was that Hail Mary at the end of the half that really obviously didn't make much of a difference. So really, neither side, quote-unquote, turned the ball over. Middle had 18 first downs. JSU had 17. Third downs very even, time of possession. It felt like, to me, that the Jack State defense was on the field the entire game, and that was true in the first half. But GSU actually possessed the ball for 33 minutes and Middle just 27. So they did actually win the time of possession battle there, which is very important to the way that Jack State plays football, is for them to possess the ball longer than their opponent. They were successful in that in this game, even though it didn't really feel like that all the time. And then some of the by the numbers, stuff here. Creel threw for 139. Cook ran for 105. That number got inflated by a 42-yarder on that final drive. But it was, like you said, Brooks, the first half, the offense couldn't do much of anything. They had the one big play to DeAndre Johnson, and, of course, he had a huge second half as well. We'll talk about in a minute. But the big play to him on the double pass with Gavin Wimsatt, other than that, they were stagnant. I mean, Middle did a really good job of stopping the run, probably the best we've seen anybody stop JSU's ground attack so far this year. Cam Cook, 21 carries for 105. Caden Creel did not run the ball well. He had 16 carries for 31 yards. That's 1.9 per carry, and he didn't get sacked. I don't think really did he take one? Because that number is not going to get inflated. He took one sack, so like that number does not get hurt by, you know, having five or six. He only got sacked one time, so that 1.9 yards per carry number is pretty accurate. I mean, Middle did a great job. Even Christian Lando only averaged 2.2 per carry. I mean, they just couldn't get anything going on the ground besides, you know, Cam Cook, of course, being the football player that he is, was still able to, you know, 5 yards of carry for 105 and kind of carried the offense on the very final drive of the game, which, of course, they needed. But they kind of finally figured out how to move the football. And, I mean, DeAndre Johnson was the answer to that question. I mean, this was the game that me and Brooks and I guess everybody else has been waiting for since we signed him in the offseason. Four catches, 131 yards, and two touchdowns. He had a huge catch to move the sticks on a third down. That was only a couple plays before his second touchdown catch. So he had the three biggest plays of the game, just about, aside from the big Cam Cook run on the last drive. I mean, he was a difference in this game. Jack State scores 17 in the fourth. Like I said, I don't know as far as the play calling goes, and I think Clint Trickett's done a pretty good job overall when you look at some of the level of quarterback play he's got. And Caden Creel does some really good stuff back there, but by no means is he a complete and finished product at this point. But, you know, I think overall Clint Trickett's done a pretty decent job. But, you know, we've seen this a few times now to where JSU scores when they absolutely have to. If they don't absolutely have to, sometimes they don't score. We saw it a little bit against Liberty in week two, you know, to where we built a good lead and then we let a couple of long Liberty touchdown drives or a couple of long plays ended in touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and the offense went right on the field and scored both times they had to in that game. We saw the same thing here, to where Jack State finally took a lead in the fourth quarter, and then the defense gave up a touchdown to Middle and they went right back down the field again and got a touchdown when they had to have it. As bad as the first half and the second quarter, besides the long play, and even the third quarter looked for JSU, they did score when they needed to. And there is something to be said to that, that when they absolutely have to have points, there is a way they can do that. But Brooks, like you said, JSU clearly knows how to win football games. Middle Tennessee clearly does not. This game could have gone, you know, realistically either way. And, you know, at no point in the game did I kind of feel like, okay, this one's going to be really hard to win. Of course, when you give up an 8-point drive to start the third quarter that puts you down by 7 and you don't feel great about the game, but I never felt like, you know, JSU's got to really have help or do something special or whatnot to win this football game. I felt like we were always at least somewhat in control, and I guess that sounds kind of weird when you trailed for a lot of the game, but, you know, as bad as the Middle Tennessee offense looked at times, I was just kind of sitting there like, we're going to figure it out in a minute. We're going to go score like 17 in the fourth is kind of what I was expecting. That's ultimately what happened. Again, the defense, by the numbers, played really well. Only 319 yards given up is great. They held Vadiato to 235 yards over 45 attempts, which is really, really nice. Now, they were aided by some horrendous misses by Vadiato, several drops from the Middle Tennessee State pass catchers, which has been a problem for them all year. So that 23 of 45 number was certainly helped out by those two. I mean, there was, at least in the first half, it was a little more noticeable for me where Vadiato missed, blatantly missed some open guys in the first half. So a couple of deep balls that they could have made JSU pay for that he overthrew or missed. So, you know, the passing line there looks like Jackson did a great job in coverage, and for the most part they did, but they did get helped out a little bit there. Run defense was, again, pretty stout. They held Middle to 84 yards rushing, and this is not a team that runs the ball very much, but either way, under 100 yards, only a 3.8 average for Middle is pretty good there. As far as the run defense goes, Jaquiel Middlebrook, who's the number one rusher for Middle, 10 carries for 20 yards. I think that's really good when you can hold a number one running back to 2 yards per carry is nice. So overall, I think the defense played well, although they were aided by some bad quarterback and bad receiver play there. And then biggest part for JSU was no turnovers. You know, the defense only forced one that, like we said earlier, didn't really amount to anything, although it did amount to a whole lot of fun before the half was over. That was the craziest play of probably the week so far. It didn't even count, but no turnovers for the Jackson offense is, again, a really big deal there, and just their ability to be able to possess the ball for a lot of the second half and find ways to score with DeAndre Johnson when it seemed like for a while we weren't going to be able to. Just kind of speaks to how deep the depth is. Like, we can try different things and try different things and try different things until something works. And Wednesday night it was DeAndre Johnson having his breakout game. But once again, for as rough as it looked there in Middle, when you're on the road Wednesday night, pouring down rain, not a soul in the stands besides the Southerners, it felt like. I think you need to feel good about any kind of victory, even a close one against a team that's got one win. I don't think you can really complain about.
Yeah, no, and not at all. You know, like I said earlier, just to get a road win in conference, keeping up the pace with Kennesaw. It's hard to complain about. Absolutely. And real quick, you mentioned the Southerners. Shout out to them for making that trip on a Wednesday night and sticking out the rain. And we could hear them all game, continuing to prove why they're the best band in the country. But my biggest takeaway from this game is the amount of growth and the amount of progression. And I know you'll see that you go back and watch that first half and call me just absolutely crazy, but you look at the game as a whole. I thought that we did a lot of things that we aren't normally great at. I thought we did them a lot better on both sides of the ball. I thought we saw Caden Creel grow and get a lot better with his passing game. He had few throws here and there, and a couple moments where just asking, what are you doing, man? Particularly, there was a moment in the third quarter, I believe it was, where we had second and short. It was like second and three. He drops back to pass, and he gets flushed out of the pocket, and he's running around, and I'm screaming at the TV, "Get rid of the ball!" And he runs out of bounds. I guess technically got sacked. I think he was tackled in bounds, but either way, I'm just, like I said, just screaming at the TV, "Get rid of the ball! What are you doing?" But overall, I thought, I thought he threw the ball pretty dang well, especially on the deep ball. And having a 6'8" receiver, it certainly helps. Certainly helps his case, and certainly helps him. Give him that deep shot option. But I thought just his decision making, I thought he was more patient in the pocket. He wasn't as trigger happy to, take off and run when he got a little bit of pressure. I thought he did a good job of giving the receivers a good bit of time to get open and find, make a play. I thought so. It was good to see that progression from him. And two, I said coming out of the I said coming out of the Sam Houston game, we're going to have to be able to move the ball through the air in some of these games. The last two games we played last night against Delaware, for a good chunk of the game, defenses did a really good job of zeroing in on Cam Cook and not letting him just run wild. It wasn't until the fourth quarter that he, really just tore it wide open. We're going to have to be able to move the ball efficiently through the air in order to win some of these games. And I thought we did that last night, being able to find Rex Steiner, really it was Rex Steiner and DeAndre Johnson, name slip. Really it was those two guys for the most part, and dumping it off to the running backs. But I thought we grew very well in that area. The only thing that I'll complain about on the offense, really is in some of these third down situations, I don't understand why the short game is our go-to. There were several moments last night where we had third and nine, we had third and 11 or 12, and we either run a draw play or a receiver screen that just got blown up. And I didn't quite understand why. Every now and then trying to catch him off guard, trying to catch the defense off guard and handing it off to, a talented running back like Cam Cook works. But, like I said, they did their film study. They did their homework very well and being able to, zero in on him and, slow him down, at least in the first three quarters. So I didn't quite understand that. Like I said, it got a lot better as the game went on. And then on the defense or on the defensive side of the ball, I thought we defended, like you said, Drew, it helps a ton when you have Vadiato just not being able to throw a wet ball, and missing, and having some receiver miscues and some communication errors, between Vadiato and the receivers. But overall, I thought we did a much better job of defending the middle of the field, which has been our Achilles heel all year. I thought we did pretty good, defending the deep ball. Run defense once again was just lights out. Like you said, the last two teams aren't, run first offenses. The last two teams that we've played aren't run first offenses by any stretch of the imagination, but still just being able to, make them one dimensional is a huge advantage, in my opinion. But the only real complaint that I had on the defense was, again, on third and long, we're dropping everybody. We're only rushing three or four off the defensive line. We drop all the linebackers back, and the dang cornerbacks and safeties are back playing cover four, and there's nobody there to defend the middle. That was the only area, only time that we didn't cover the middle of the field very well, and we did it every third and long. But we've done that all year too. We cannot get off the field on third and long for the save our dang lives, and that just gets so infuriating. We can do it on, third and four, third and five, but we can't do it on third and 22 for some reason.
I would almost rather see a third and three than a third and 15 at times.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I know they're going to try to run it up the middle, and Juwan Campbell and company are not going to let that happen. But yeah, for some reason, like you said, whatever the is on third and long is had its issues this year, I guess is all I'll kind of say there. But it does get frustrating. But at the same time, after we watched this defense play against Georgia Southern and Southern Miss, I think we were a little bit concerned about what the future might hold. But they have certainly improved greatly in a lot of aspects. So either way.
For sure. Overall, and something, I think has kind of gotten forgotten about over the course as the season's gone on is, there's just so much new about this program right now. So many new players, coaches, just new offense, just a lot of a lot of new within the program, and for them to, you know, we didn't even have a full, you know, we didn't have our full set roster until the summer, really. So, you know, for less than 6 months, us to be able to, you know, really, really grow and really develop chemistry as quick as we have, I think, you know, that speaks volumes to Coach Kelly and what he's been able to do with this program in such a short amount of time. And if we can figure out a way to keep some of these big names on the roster going into last year or going into next year, I think we're only going to just keep getting better and better. And I know that's hard, you know, with, you know, we just don't have the NIL money that some of these bigger programs do. And, you know, like, I got bad news for everybody. Cam Cook probably ain't going to be there next year. But, you know, if he's a phenomenal talent, he's probably going to go to Auburn or somewhere next year. It's just the way the world works right now. But if we can figure out how to keep some of these guys, DeAndre Johnson's, the Max Sanders, you know, some of these bigger names that have made a impact, have made an impact, you know, pretty quick with this team, I think we're going to be set up to be very successful going forward. But overall, you know, like I said, can't complain with the road win and the conference. Keeping pace with Kennesaw, and if we can take care of business next week against UTEP, we're going to have quite the matchup here in 2 weeks when the Owls come to town.
Yeah, I'm already kind of, as a fan, looking ahead at what the Kennesaw game could be. But one more, like you said, one more before there with UTEP, which we'll get into here in just a minute. But one more quick note on DeAndre Johnson, really, so I want to speak about for a minute. You know, when you get a guy out of the portal that's got that kind of size advantage over his defenders he will be facing and has faced, this was the game that me and Brooks expected. It just came much, much later in the year. And I don't know what we're going to attribute that to, because he has had a couple of drops so far this year. Again, he hasn't been given a ton of chances, but there's been some one-on-one balls he hasn't come away with, and you can't call all those drops. So some of those are contested catches he didn't come down with, and maybe a couple you might call drops, but like, that's got to be part of the game plan, in my opinion, still, no matter what. Now, I know the double pass to him is its own thing, right? That's separate, kind of put that aside. And he caught a slant route and got 9 yards after that. So you can take those two catches and do what you want with them. Those are fine. But those last two, that third down conversion, where, I mean, if you look up the definition of moss in the dictionary, it's going to show a play that looks a whole lot like that. That was a huge play for JSU. That might have been, besides the Cam Cook run and then his touchdown catch after, their biggest play of the night. When you've got a guy who's got that ability and then he caught the touchdown pass there a couple plays later, like, that's just, it's got to be a part of your game plan. And we haven't seen a go ball thrown to DeAndre Johnson before last night in at least a couple weeks, I think. At least not a real shot for him to make a play. And I know Creel missed him wide open against Delaware, but we just haven't seen, I don't mean to do it every drive where you're going to throw him two or three of those, but, I mean, you got to think two or three or four times per game. I think that's got to be in your playbook. If they're going to cover him one-on-one, like, he needs to get his shots. And if he drops a couple, that's fine, because he's going to make plays like we saw Wednesday night as well. And that's, you know, that's for an offense that has struggled to throw the ball for a lot of the year, that can remedy a lot of that if you can have a guy who can go do that three or four times a game, at least have the chance three or four times a game. So I was very happy for DeAndre Johnson to finally have his breakout game there. So just kind of wanted to kind of get through some of that. But, Brooks, like you said, one more before Kennesaw comes to town in what should be the biggest conference game of the year. But Jack State has one more, in air quotes, warm-up game before that. And you can't call any of these warm-up games, because these teams in this conference are the competition's certainly very, very tight, and anything on the road in this conference turns into a one-point victory and a 20-point victory, the exact same thing. Especially talking about a team like JSU who has struggled on the road for the better part of the year, and at times struggled Wednesday night. Really, for most of the game, they probably struggled Wednesday night. So We will go to the Sun Bowl in El Paso on Saturday. I believe that's a 2:30 start, but Brooks can check me on that if he wants to. And again, you look at UTEP, and they're what, 2-6 or 2-5, whatever it is. I don't really care.
2 o'clock.
They've got two wins. One of them was Sam Houston, who they actually beat by 16 or 18 points or whatever. But one thing that UTEP's going to do is stop the run. They are second in the conference in yards per attempt, only giving up 3.6. That's right behind Louisiana Tech, who is the best in the conference. So JSU is going to have to throw the ball to score to move the ball this game. And then, you know, DeAndre Johnson may be a big part of the game plan again against UTEP because they do stop the run pretty well at only 3.6. But the one thing that the UTEP defense does not do, and this is kind of the other side of it, they're only forcing one turnover per game. So they're not turning over anybody. They're averaging less than a pick game. They've got a couple fumble recoveries this year. So they're just not forcing a lot of turnovers defensively. So, again, the game plan for JSU's offense is to stay on the field, run clock, and maintain possession. And UTEP should allow them to do that just by way of UTEP not allowing or not forcing, I should say, a lot of turnovers. Oddly enough, the only team worse in the conference at forcing turnovers in UTEP is Kennesaw State. So that's something we'll think about here in a couple weeks. But the UTEP defense is no slouch. They're out in middle of the conference, giving up 25.3 per game. In case you're wondering, JSU gives up 25.5. So they're basically giving up the same amount of points as JSU is. It's just they are a pretty decent run defense in UTEP. But of course, that being the biggest part of the Gamecock offense is something to note. On the other hand, the UTEP offense is a little bit of a different story. They've been through two quarterbacks with Spencer Locklear and Malachi Nelson. I would imagine, Brooks, I think Spencer Locklear is going to be the starter. I think they benched Nelson a few weeks ago, and I don't think he's regained his starting position back. But either way, UTEP only scoring about 20 points per game is in the bottom half of the league. They would like to move the ball through the air at 216.4 per game, but they're certainly a balanced attack. They're only rushing it for about 109, but they are trying to run the ball. They're running it 30 times a game, which is, you know, they're not, you know, Middle's running it 22 times a game, so there's a big difference there. UTEP is trying to run the ball, but they're, again, their yards per attempt number is pretty low there at 3.6, only averaging 109 yards per game. So the UTEP offense is going to be more prolific through the air than on the ground. They are a bottom three rushing attack in the league, but they will at least show the run and attempt to. In case anybody's curious, Jack State runs the ball 51 times a game, so there is a big difference there. But either way, UTEP's going to be much more balanced than what we saw at Middle Tennessee State, where Middle wanted to throw it every play, it seemed like, or the majority of plays they wanted to throw it. UTEP is still a pass-first team, but they will show the run more so than Middle Tennessee did. And again, like we said, only giving up about, only scoring about 20.9 points per game. And they are an offense that will give you the football. They are, if we want to call this leading the conference or last in conference, either way, they have the most turnovers in conference at two a game. So they're sitting at 2-6 and have turned it over, I think the math there is about 16 times so far. So that should be something that Jack State defense will hopefully be able to exploit. Again, the quarterback change a few weeks ago may help that out for UTEP. Either way, at least till this point, they will turn the ball over, which is something that, you know, the longer JSU can keep their offense on the field and wear down the UTEP defense, the more likely JSU will be to get a victory. We haven't played UTEP since Jack State's very first FBS game back in 2023. When Jeremiah Harris had his game-sealing interception there. So it'll be nice to get the Miners again. It's our first trip to the Sun Bowl. I would imagine in program history, I have not done research to see if we got a weird game there at a, you know, at one point. But it is a beautiful venue for those that are going to El Paso. We are very jealous because that is a place that me and Brooks would both like to visit and see a game at. But again, we can call this another warm-up game for Jackson if you want to, but how we've seen them play on the road and how competitive this conference is, JSU needs to get out of there with a victory, get to bowl eligibility. That'll get them to 6-3. and then we'll really focus on Kennesaw State. But UTEP is a team kind of like Middle and kind of like Sam Houston that JSU should not have an issue with if they play their brand of football. I would just like to see us play that brand of football on the road once.
Yeah, for sure. We're still waiting. We know how good we can, we know how good we play at home. We're still just and that certainly bodes well for the Kennesaw matchup here in 2 weeks, but still waiting for it to transition onto on the road, certainly against these lesser opponents. UTEP's one of those teams. It's kind of like Middle, where they don't necessarily go away, they're very good at making things hard on their opponents, and staying in those games. With the exception of Sam Houston, which everybody beats Sam Houston, just the way it is, unfortunately for them. But they don't. These have been fairly close games. The last two conference losses have, been by about two scores, but they never really, Liberty and Kennesaw didn't really run away with it until kind of towards the end. neither did La Monroe, and neither did really Texas. UTEP was playing back and forth with them all game, and Arch Manning had a just god awful game, and Texas didn't really run away with it. Only beat them by 17. They're kind of towards the late third quarter, so they'll hang around. They'll give you fits. It's just going to be, how well can Jack State, take advantage of these turnovers that are going to have. Surprisingly enough, Kennesaw was the first game that Skyler Locklear didn't throw an interception since the first game he. First game he went without throwing an interception since UTEP in week two, since the UT Martin game in week two. And even then he didn't come in till scrub time. Malachi Nelson started and played 90% of that game. Malachi Nelson is out of the picture. He has not played in two games. But something also to look out with Locklear, he likes to run the ball too. The last few games, he's gotten between 50 and 75 yards on the ground. So kind of similar to Caden Creel numbers, which the defense in practice ought to be able to, with as much more that we run the ball with Caden Creel now than we did with Wimsatt. I think anyways, defense ought to be a little bit more prepared for it than they were in the beginning of the season when UCF's quarterbacks were running on us, Georgia Southern's quarterbacks were running on us, and certainly Southern Miss too, and even Hunter Watson a little bit in the Sam Houston game. They should, that was a big problem, earlier on in the season, and I think we ought to be more prepared for it, just going based off what the defense is seeing in practice. But that's another area of the defense I would really like to see step up. And if we can make him one dimensional, really take away his run game. I feel a lot better defending the passing game, defending the pass going into this game than I did Delaware Middle, just because they are, just because those two were pass first offenses. But, like you said too, Drew, this is a pretty good run defense. I think it's going to be, we could see a similar situation, I guess would be the word to use, as to what we've seen the last 2 weeks. Like I said, Delaware did their homework, being able to shut down Cam Cook early. It went until late in the second half till really got going. Same thing with Middle, and I think this is going to be a similar case with UTEP. They're going to do their homework. They're going to do everything they can. Assume that if he's in the backfield, he's getting the ball in some shape, form, or fashion. Send the house to Cam Cook if at all possible. But I think just, you know, with as talented as he is and as much as we like to run the ball, I think we are a team that you don't see this a ton anymore, you know, with really good defenses. But I think we are a team that has the capability of wearing defenses down with a run game as the game progresses. I think that's been the case the last two games. Is we just kept, you know, they did a good job stopping, you know, Creel and Cook early on, but last night. But as the game just went on, we got more of those chunk plays. He finally had Cam Cook finally had the big, 55-yard run somewhere in that area, before he walked right into the end zone to give us the final lead. And I think this could be a similar situation. Overall, like you said, Drew, I think that this is a game that Jack State should take care of business fairly easy. But again, we got to see it. We have not played a complete four quarter game on the road. You know, even with, you know, two road wins now, we just haven't done it yet. Still waiting to, you know, see that come to fruition. The betting line is not out yet. I would imagine that'll come out on Monday. But as of right now, ESPN gives us a 53.9% chance to win. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. Even if the line's only 2.5, 3.5 or so, I wouldn't disagree with it, just because, you know, we just haven't been able to put together a complete game on the road. We find ways to win, and I'm more than confident in that. But just, you know, I'm afraid unless something, you know, really changes, we'll have a little bit more practice. You know, this is one advantage of playing those midweek games. We'll have more time to get ready for that UTEP game. You know, it being back to a regular Saturday matchup, we'll have, you know, a week and a half to get ready for it. But, you know, until I see anything different, I got a feeling this is going to be less than a touchdown game. And if we can come away with a win, again, hard to complain about, you know, getting a road conference win, especially, you know, keep building that confidence going into the Kennesaw game. I just got to see it transition. You know, those dominating home performances that we've had, I just got to see it transition to on the road. No, you're right. Other than that,
you're absolutely right. We need to see it on the road. We haven't yet. So, there's a reason I think JSU is going to go to UTEP and blow them out of the water, because we have proven ourselves incapable of doing that on the road. Now, I do think that they are capable of doing that. I think it's, you know, any day now, or any game, we're going to go out on the road and we're going to look great and win by 14 or 21 points. We've seen them do it home against Delaware and Liberty and this and that, but it just hasn't come to fruition yet. I still think the UCF game was the best road game we've played all year. And I think that's, you know, pretty obvious at this point. And they had a tough schedule. You know, UCF on the road, and then Georgia Southern on the road, and Southern Miss on the road. Like, those are three tough, you know, three out of your four non-conference games on the road, and the only home game being Murray State, which was always a win. Doesn't help anything. But, you know, when you get a team like Sam Houston, then you probably should have lost that game, or definitely should have lost that game. And a team like Middle that, you know, you have to have a big fourth quarter comeback in to win. And again, like I said earlier, I felt like, you know, Jack State was always going to find the offense and win that game. It's just it took longer to get to that point than we were all comfortable with. I don't think we can continue to say, okay, this is going to be the week, this will be the week, this will be the week. Like, now I need to see it. I still think they're capable of winning by 14 or 21 points. It's just, for some reason, the road games don't seem to have the same get up as the home games do. However, the extra prep time will certainly help for UTEP. Like you said, the Wednesday night game against Middle, and then you basically get a 10 or 11 day window there before you go to the Sun Bowl is really nice. So maybe that'll help make the difference. And then before we get out of here, I want everybody to kind of take a minute and look at where Jack State is. They lost a head coach who, in basically 3 years, did more winning than anyone else in school history has. And I know that he didn't win national championship and that kind of thing. But, I mean, when you look at where the program was when Rich Rod got here to where he was when where the program was when he left, you know, he did more winning here than just about anybody else did in 3 years. When you lose a coach like that and you lose, you know, basically every meaningful position player not named Michael Pettway or Garrison Ripa to the portal, Juwan Campbell can be thrown in there as well, and you're still 5-3 after 8 weeks and sitting at the top of your conference, I don't care how you got the wins, you've done a good job. So I think we can all kind of take a step back, and as frustrating as the offense might look at times in the first half of games, like, they are still way ahead of schedule under this regime. I know when me and Brooks kind of looked at the season to start with, we're like, you know, they get to 7-8 wins, that'd be a great year. If they get to bowl eligibility, that'd be an okay year. Anything kind of below 6 wins would have been a disappointment, but it's almost a foregone conclusion they're going to get to 6 wins. They're going to find another one on the schedule, even though they do have 3 tough games after UTEP with Kennesaw, FIU, and Western. They're going to find at least another win, and they're still at they're in the driver's seat, control their own destiny to get to a Conference USA championship game again. I think you should be more than happy with how the program is. I know me and Brooks are more than happy with where they are, even though you might need a heart attack. You might have a heart attack after some of these games, but either way, they're doing an excellent job as far as rebuilding from where they were and not missing a step in conference, at least up to this point. And the rest of the schedule, you know, the home games against Kennesaw and Western certainly help. So Western has all kinds of issues against the run. I'm probably more confident in the Western game right now than I am against FIU on the road. That's just based on where the program is, and Western seems to have taken a step back since the year started. I know Maverick McIver had an injury at some point. I don't know how serious that actually was, but he was also launching interceptions left and right before the injury. So Western.
He won't be playing this weekend. I did see that.
Okay. So Western has had their own little set of issues to work with. Jack State should match up really well with them as far as they struggle to stop the run, which is good for JSU. So I think after this UTEP game, of course, Kennesaw is the big one, which is just weird to say after how bad they looked last year, that FIU game on the road is going to be a tough one as well. So those last 3 after UTEP will be tough ones. I'd like to get to 6 wins against UTEP this week. That way, you know, if those don't go your way and that kind of thing, at least you're going to be 6-6 and go to a bowl game at the end of the year. But I'd like to think that, you know, they can handle UTEP, handle Kennesaw, roll through FIU and Western and be at the hosting the title game again at the end of the year. That's certainly the goal, and they're set up to do that if everything goes their way and they make those minute improvements on the road especially. But either way, like we said, I think we should be happy with where the program is, where this football team specifically is. To be 5-3 and in control after that much rebuilding says a lot about the job that Coach Kelly's done. So did want to kind of get that out of the way. But beyond that, Brooks, if you have anything else, we can hear it. But if not, we are going to leave you guys to it. Jack State plays Saturday at 2:30, like we said, in El Paso. So we'll talk to you guys early next week, and hopefully, we're talking about another Jack State victory, a 5-0 conference team, and a bowl eligible team for the 3rd consecutive year.
Yeah, no, just the, you know, real quick, you know, kind of reiterate what you said. It goes back to what I said earlier, just for, you know, so much being new about this program. And, you know, first-time head coach, 80% of your roster lost to the transfer portal or graduation. I think the only people that, you know, had on this team that had played together that wasn't, you know, some of the guys that were still from the team last year was Gavin Wimsatt and DeAndre Johnson. And even then, that was 2 years ago when they were at Rutgers. You know, just so much being new about this program. It speaks volume to the job that Kelly's done. And, you know, like you said, Drew, if we can just at the bare minimum get bowl eligibility out of this, you know, or 7-5, depending on how, you know, Kennesaw and Western turn out, or really the rest of the schedule, the way we've been playing on the road. If we can just, you know, get to bowl eligibility, maybe an extra win, you know, I think that's a great first year under Coach Kelly, considering the circumstances that he's had to face, in this program as a whole. And that's why, like I said, if we can somehow manage to, you know, convince some of these big name players to stay, I think we're only going to keep getting better and better. And that's the expectation level. And Kelly knows that. He knows the standard that, you know, got set by Rich Rod coming into and his staff and his teams coming into the FBS era, and wants to continue that. And I think everything is trending for him too, to continue carrying that legacy. But, you know, it just, like I said, it speaks volumes to what he's been able to do. And, we should be, you know, it's hard to settle for, you know, anything less than winning every week, but, you know, considering all the circumstances so far, this has been a pretty dang good year. But we got to finish it. 4 games left. It's hard to believe we're this close to the end of the season. I don't even want to think about it, you know, getting close to the end of football season, but, you know, we're getting, you know, closer and closer to nut cutting time as we inch towards the conference championship game and, everything goes right, a bowl game. And I got full confidence in Kelly and the staff to take care of business against UTEP, hopefully take care of business against FIU, and then have those last two matchups and, you know, with the other top two teams in the conference. But we'll just have to see. Yeah, like you said, Drew, hopefully, we're talking next week about bowl eligibility for the third straight year, for Jack State. And we've said it 100 times. If you would have told us this, you know, 5 years ago, we probably would have told you were full of it, but here we are. Yeah, we'll talk to you then, and go Gamecocks.